he's one of the ushers, so he's probably going to take a minute or two. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Come on down. You're the scripture reader. That was supposed to be funny. Sorry. Yeah, I'm stalling. It's okay. Obviously, I wouldn't be good at stand-up. Or I should sit down.
Today's scripture reading is from Matthew 20, verses 29 through 34. And you're already standing. As Jesus and the disciples left the town of Jericho, a large crowd followed behind. Two blind men were sitting beside the road. When they heard that Jesus was coming that way, they began shouting, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." "Be quiet," the crowd yelled at them, but they only shouted louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." When Jesus heard them, he stopped and called, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," they said, "we want to see." Jesus felt sorry for them and touched their eyes. Instantly, they could see. Then they followed him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
How's it going? I've had kind of a challenging week as I was trying to, you know, I wasn't here last Sunday because I knew I was coming down with something and I didn't want to share the love with everybody. I will dismiss the kids here in just a second, but, whoops, that would not work very well. Let's see here. All right. So then trying to recover this week, but then I had to go do my other little side job that both days happened to be 16-hour days. And so there I was sick and trying to get better and then doing that. So it was interesting. But so I know there's a lot of sickness going around. I'm glad you're out here today. And just pray that God's health and life will flow into us as we're here. And for those that aren't here who are sick as well. So again, just before I dismiss the kids that are here, I just want to say, again, and we've kind of talked about this different times, but I'm excited to be able on this Wednesday to make connections to our community. One of our five values here as a church is that we engage in intentional outreach. And I understand that there's all kinds of degrees of ways that Christians view Halloween. I get that. I actually even understand the different views. Some people don't even think about it. Other people, you know, have very strong feelings about it. That's not what we're doing, right? We are taking advantage of an opportunity to share ourselves and the good news of who Jesus is with our community. That's what we do. That's who we are. And so I'm excited. I really am. I'm looking forward to it. I'm not a big dress-up guy. I might find a couple cowboy hats for Sarah and I and throw some jeans on, and that might be about it. But, but I'm excited, and I've done it for years. I've just sat out there with a table, and Mark and Colleen and Sissy have joined me out there over the years, maybe others. Doreen, you came out. Was that last year you joined me out there or the year before? Anyway, yeah, so anyhow, I just kind of wanted to share that. I mean, Stephanie did a great job, you know, announcing it, but I just want you to hear our heart. You know, we can bicker about stuff or whatever, or we can get busy and do something, amen, you know, and connect with our community. So, okay, so with that little word, I want to go ahead and dismiss whatever children there are. Yeah, there's a couple here, a few. Yeah, Phil's one of them, I see, he's going out. So thank you to our children. We're Mark, that's pretty natural, all right, good. So enjoy, you guys. Kids, thank you to our children's workers. Appreciate you. All right, so We are in the midst of a sermon series called what? What are we calling the sermon series? Anybody know? What does it say up there? Seeing with Jesus, the social ethic of the gospel, or seeing with the eyes of Jesus. And in this series, we are focusing on seeing others as being created in the Imago Dei, being created in the image of God. And this is huge. I want to tell you, it is so difficult, as just a few words today, to communicate how powerful it is to break out of ourselves and to see others the way Jesus sees them. It'll change your life, and it'll change the lives of people around you. Specifically, we're paying attention to how Jesus and the early church saw and encountered those who were of different social or religious status. And the objective is, you know, being to discuss what it means to see or understand other people in the same way as Jesus understands them. And so again, that can be very challenging. Seeing with the eyes of Jesus has clear implications for you and I. This is a very practical sermon series. In fact, it's one of those series that I'm loving to hate. It's convicted me. Putting this message together, I was convicted in a number of areas of my life, and it'll come out as I'm preaching. But it has practical implications for how we practice the kingdom of God and relate to other people in this increasingly diverse world. The idea of seeing people with the eyes of Jesus is obviously hugely relevant to our entire culture, isn't it? I mean, somebody that walks into a synagogue during a naming ceremony of a baby and kills 11 people definitely did not see Jewish people through the eyes of Jesus. So this is real stuff, man. This is like change your life kind of material, you know, that we're talking about here, things that we're looking at. And so let's just open up our hearts and let God speak to us. Again, as I've already mentioned once, but all of this, really what we're talking about here, also relates to one of our core values as a church, and that is intentional outreach. And you'll pick that up as I'm sharing today, because the title of my message today is Let Compassion Move You. Let compassion move you. So let's take another look at our passage. It says, as they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. There were two blind men sitting by the roadside. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they shouted, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. The crowd sternly ordered them to be quiet, but they shouted even more loudly, have mercy on us, Lord, son of David. Jesus stood still and called them, saying, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Lord, let our eyes be opened. Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. Immediately they regained their sight and followed him. You know, one of the things I appreciate about this series is that it's forcing me to look at familiar Bible passages differently, to look at it from a different point of view. Because when I was looking at what others had said about this, and even what I had said about this passage and some preaching in the past, what do you think most of the comments and things that I read, what do you think was the focus for most people who were commenting on this passage from Matthew? Where do you think the focus was mostly laid? On who? What? Well, that would be one. That's often one of the focuses. But I find it's, and that's definitely one. The other one is on who? The two blind men. You know, and these are good things to ponder and to consider. Persevering through you know, obstacles, you know, to get what God has for you. You know, those are good subject matters. But I did not read anything, nor have I ever heard a sermon preached about what Jesus was experiencing in this passage. And so that's a little bit what we're going to talk about today. Because while I was trying to see this whole situation through the eyes of Jesus, there was something else that I've never really noticed that jumped out at me in this passage. But before I get to that, let's ponder what's going on here a little bit. So the context is that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, where he knows he's going to die. He is turned and he is heading towards what he knows is going to be the redemption of all humanity, but where he's going to suffer an excruciating death. And he is on his way. Imagine the fact that he's traveling by foot along an actually pretty busy road. He's not out in the middle of the country. He's near a fairly significant town, actually. And there's a large crowd of people following him. You see, at this point, Jesus had kind of attained a bit of a celebrity status. The paparazzi are right there, trying to catch the latest miracle for the Jerusalem news, the daily Jerusalem news, you know? Others are hoping to see or experience a miracle for themselves. Others, like those who flock to mega churches today, want to hear a great sermon. Still others are hoping for a revolution, liberation from the tyranny of Rome and the beginning of a new golden age of the Jewish nation. There's probably some religious leaders there trying to catch Jesus to what he says or what he does to trip him up and find a way to get rid of the upstart prophet from Galilee. This is not just a crowd of people. It says a large crowd. And this isn't just a crowd of people that are just like going along. They're a whole mixture of people. In addition to the large crowd, I'm just imagining, you know, in those days, there's probably some, you know, mules or donkeys or whatever, people riding on, doing whatever they're doing. There's carts going by. There's commerce and things going in and out of the city. There is a lot of commotion and activity happening as Jesus, at this current time, kind of the celebrity, is walking down the road. Now, also know that on busy roads like this, like our on-ramps and busy intersections in our world today, there were beggars by the side of the road. A very common thing, I'll say, to see. They were probably there every day. Many in the crowd had probably walked by them many times. Just like you and I see today. We pull up to multiple intersections in our cars, and there are the beggars. But something very extraordinary is going to happen in this situation. Because as Jesus is walking down the road with the commotion and all the stuff that's going on all around him, these two beggars cry out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." Which, by the way, are clearly messianic terms. To call Jesus both Lord and Son of David has messianic or, you know, savior connotations to it. So, although I'm not trying to emphasize the blind man, I think, saw more clearly than most of the crowd. They knew how to address Jesus, and they were believing God for a miracle. And again, I don't want to put much emphasis on the crowd, but what is the crowd? What's the response of the crowd?
Hey, be quiet.
It says... They ordered them. They sternly ordered them to be quiet. We'll come back around to that. You know, and one must wonder if Jesus, if he couldn't even hear him the first time because of all the commotion, because they shout all the louder. Have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David. And then here in these next three verses is where I would like us to focus our attention this morning. Because to me, this is remarkable and life-changing. The first thing that Jesus does when he hears the cry of these beggars is he stood still. He stopped. And I confess to you this morning that I rarely stand still when walking past the homeless or driving past a beggar. Usually I just walk right on by. And I'll come back to this whole idea of standing still later, but suffice it to say that when Jesus heard the cry of the beggars, he stood still. He stopped. Second, Jesus asked them a question. He engaged them as more than two blind beggars sitting on the side of the road. He recognized their humanity in that moment. I actually like how Mark names one of the two beggars. Gives the beggar a name. I love how Mark does that. Bartimaeus. And Jesus engages them. He doesn't just stand still. He engages them and asks them a very meaningful question. What do you want me to do for you? He acknowledges them as human beings and asks them that question. Finally, and this brings me to the heart of what I see when I'm trying to see these two blind beggars through the eyes of Jesus, and that is that Jesus was moved with compassion. And to be moved with compassion, the word compassion, it's actually something that we don't relate to very well, so I'm going to actually not, it basically it just means that your heart, to put it in our terms, because it was actually the bowels, but believe it or not, it was the bowels where in those days people felt the seat of emotion was, from in your gut, right? Your gut. We think more of the heart, right? But Jesus was so moved in his heart that he took action. He did something. What did he do? Well, we'll get back to that. No, I'll read it. Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. You see, genuine compassion moves us to action. It just does. Now, let's talk about compassion a little bit, because compassion isn't always easy. One of the most difficult, often it's the most difficult people in our lives that need our compassion. It's the ones that we want to walk by. It's the ones that we don't want in our life. It's the ones, and often they need our compassion the most. I mean, I've told the story here, and those of you that have been here for a long time, I don't know, this might be the 10th time you've heard it. But I remember a young man who asked me to pray for his acne problem. And I mocked him. I said, "You don't think God has more important things to concern himself with than your acne?" Now, granted, I didn't like the guy. He just irritated me. But looking back all these years later, you could tell that story had a huge impact on me because I talk about it still to this day, 35 years later. Because you know what that young man was really crying out for? Mercy. He just needed someone to love him. He was deeply insecure, which is what was driving me crazy. Yeah, I failed. Thank God for his mercy on me, right? Compassion is not easy. In fact, compassion has some ramifications to it, I think, that I want to share with you this morning that go deeper than sometimes we would even think. Because God's call is not just for us to have compassion on the outcast, the homeless, and the beggar, but to show compassion to those who have hurt or taken advantage of us. Ooh, what, wait, what? Let me talk a little bit more. You see, for me, it's far easier to show compassion to a homeless person than to someone who has hurt me. I actually, if I pay attention, if I stand still, I can become compassionate relatively easily over people whose need is obvious. But when someone has hurt me, I don't feel like giving them anything at all. I don't want to give them anything. In my anger, my hurt, or my frustration, it's easy to feel like they don't deserve it. And you know what? They don't. And neither do you. You don't deserve compassion either. And neither do they. They don't deserve it. But when we withhold our compassion, that's the beginning really of objectifying other people around us. We start losing the reality or losing the sense of the fact that these are people, yes, they hurt us, some even deeply, but they were made in the image of God. And we start losing a bit of our own humanity in the process. And this is where fear, anger, bitterness, and depression begin to grip our hearts. Amen, Pastor. Preach it, brother. You see, when we cannot offer compassion, we limit ourselves more than we limit the other person. Did you catch that? You limit yourself more than you're limiting the other person. We dim a bit. We become less creative, more reactive, and worried and caught up in what others have done instead of what we can do. Now, I'm telling you, I've been, and I hate to put the term business on, I've been in the people business for 37 years. And I cannot tell you how many people have lost their humanity, have allowed it to be taken away from them because someone hurt them. Yes, they hurt you. Yes, it's painful. Yes, they don't deserve anything from you. But if you do not learn how to be moved with compassion towards other people, even those that have hurt you, you are losing your own humanity and you are dying. Let compassion move you. And what do I mean? How do you have compassion in that situation? Before I say that, we've had conversations or I've yelled at you about stuff like this similar before. I'm not saying you need to hang out with those that hurt you. I'm not saying you place yourself in harm's way. But even as you are putting your personal boundaries in place, you can release your judgment and extend compassion to that person that's hurt you. I'm not saying you just go up and say, yeah, hurt me again, you know. Boundaries are good. Are you hearing me? I'm talking about allowing God to touch you, that you begin to see that other person the way Jesus does. And that other person has their own story. That other person probably has reasons why they've done what they've done. Again, I'm not saying, if they're going to continue to do what they do, then you need to just stay away. But you need to release them from your own personal judgment. Are you getting what I'm saying? You picking up what I'm throwing down? Okay. Let compassion move you. Try for your own sake. Not even for that person will, if without repentance or whatever happens, or if they will suffer the consequences of their sin and their actions, but not at your hands. You can try to punish them your whole life, and the only person you're punishing is yourself. Let compassion move you. Begin to see other even hurtful people as human beings created in the image of God. So I know there's a huge outcry. I'm going to really get testy here. There's a huge outcry, and there should be, over what happened in that synagogue. And quite frankly, that gentleman should be suffer the fullest extent of the consequences of what he did. But not by my hands. Do you understand what I'm saying? God has given us order and systems and governments and courts and these kinds of things where justice, hopefully, will be served, and certainly eternally justice will be served for what that guy did. See, now this is where I'm treading on some difficult ground, but that guy has a story. In a way, there should still, there's a small part of me that because of what I've studied here just in the last little while, where my heart, this might freak you out, but my heart breaks for that guy. What brought him to the place where he's at, where he would actually go into a synagogue and shoot mothers and fathers and with babies and children? And what led to that? Okay, I am not saying let him go scot-free. You hear me, what I'm saying? Yeah. That man should suffer the full consequences of his actions. But it's easy to sit and be self-righteous or to, you know what I'm trying to say? Okay. I wasn't going to use that example, but it just pretty fresh.
Can't help but wonder what indeed made him do that.
Well, there's a story. That's what I'm trying to say. As atrocious, as horrible, as devastating, as evil, as all the things that we want to throw at that guy and that are true, he's still a human being. He still was created in the image of God. Yeah, compassion is not easy. It'll change your life. It'll liberate you, set you free. Basically, we just asked God to help us see people as people. Judgment keeps us bitter, hurting, and angry. Compassion is a way out. In the end, it isn't whether someone deserves your compassion or not. It's a matter of whether you are courageous enough to offer it. Do you have the courage to extend compassion? You see, the compassion of Jesus went far beyond just having empathy for others. When the compassion of Jesus is flowing through us, it is like a spiritual quality that reflects the love of God. And when Jesus was moved with compassion, he touched their eyes, they immediately regained their sight, and they followed him. Wow. If the church is ever going to really do anything, if we're going to intentionally reach out to others, we need to be moved with the compassion of Jesus Christ. I am so convinced of my need here. The church as a whole, and I'm being a little, I should try to be nice. Nah. I think the reason we don't do much a lot of times, really, with other people, is we just don't see them with the eyes of Jesus. We just don't see people the way Jesus does. I think if we did, it would change our lives. I really do. I believe that as we are moved by compassion, exercising our faith and acting, that we will actually see more signs, wonders, and miracles amongst us. It's a miracle here. Can't Jesus still do miracles today? Yeah. Moved with compassion, he touched their eyes, they regained their sight, and they followed him. It's a pretty powerful sequence of events. Yeah. Moved with compassion. So what do? Most of us, myself included, are overwhelmed by the need. I don't know if you struggle with this, but I do. Beggars on virtually every street corner, homeless camps all around us, commercials of starving children around the world, people who have inflicted pain on us, and then our own personal guilt for all the stupid things we've done. We walk around, and it's overwhelming. And I just am confessing to you that I struggle with this. I just get overwhelmed. There's no way I can meet all these needs. I can't solve every problem that exists in the world today. I cannot give enough money to every person standing on every street corner that's going to make any difference in their lives. I don't have the ability to take every single person that's living in tents along the cut here and provide a home for them. It's overwhelming to me. So my normal reaction basically is to sternly order them all to be quiet. Shut up. I cannot listen. I cannot hear. I try to ignore the need, ignore the hurt, ignore all the pain. And this is one of the reasons why I think so many people use pills, smoke weed, drink too much alcohol, or find some other ways to silence the shouting of the two beggars. You see, we criticize, we think, how could the, look at that crowd, you know, that sternly ordering them to be quiet. I would never do that. I do it every day. I do it all the time. I'm always shouting at the two beggars to shut up and be quiet. Feel like it's just too hard. Let me just follow Jesus down this road. I don't want to deal with you guys. So what can we do? Again, what can we do? First, I want to encourage you. Stand still. That's what Jesus did. He stopped. Stand still. Like Jesus, allow yourself to listen to the pain, to see the need. Man. See, I've been deeply convicted about this concerning those on the side of the road and the homeless. It doesn't mean I stop and give something to each one, but I at least pause. I've been trying to practice this over the last couple weeks, actually, before I even started fully preparing for the message. I try to acknowledge that that person is a human being. Sometimes it means instead of looking away that I just, I know it can seem like nothing, but just looking and engaging them, looking them in the eye and smiling at them. And it may seem like nothing to you, but it's huge for me. It's my attempt at acknowledging that this is another human being. I stand still. We stand still also to listen to our own pain. Stop avoiding it. Stop lashing out at others. Stop trying to numb it. See yourself the way Jesus sees you. Allow him to help you look through his eyes at your own pain. Have some compassion on yourself and see the humanity of those who have hurt you or your own humanity where you feel like you've failed. Second, I'm just going back to the passage here. Find a way to engage. Jesus simply asked a question, discovered the need, and then met it. And again, we are not going to be able to meet every need, but ask God to lead you and then let compassion move you. Let God lead you. Maybe it's just one thing that you get engaged in, but you allow the compassion of God to move you so that you can just give yourself to whatever it is. None of us here are going to solve all the world's problems. For those of you who've been hurt, as I've said already, engage your pain instead of running from it. Free yourself from all anger and bitterness by extending compassion to those who have hurt you. Engage is what I'm trying to say. And then finally, let compassion move you to faith-filled action that results in the miraculous. Hallelujah. Faith-filled action, let compassion move you to perform faith-filled actions that result in the miraculous. People are crying out for mercy all around us. They may not use those words, but metaphorically, there are blind beggars all around us. We still may, to some degree, be blind beggars. Are you getting the metaphor? There's people all around us crying out for help. Oftentimes, they're the ones that are the most irritating, too. But it's a cry for help. It's my prayer that as compassion moves us and as we combine our compassion with faith and action, that we're going to see many coming to know Jesus, becoming followers of Jesus, as we see the miraculous, as we see God working. You know, finally, as I'm just kind of wrapping up here, as I was preparing this message, I was reminded of my own compassion fatigue. I was reminded of something that I saw when I first came to Portland almost 30 years ago. And I may be a little fuzzy with a couple of the details, but we were downtown Portland, and yes, we were actually walking up to people and talking to them about Jesus. And there was a big commotion that was going on right down by Pioneer Square. And I walked up to a police officer because I couldn't quite see what was going on. I said, "Can you tell me what's happened here?" And his response, with a total hardness of heart, was, "It's just another, I can't remember what his exact, but it was just another homeless teen that's overdosed on drugs." That's how he said it to me. Just another homeless teen overdosed on drugs. And it just struck me. And I prayed that night, 30 years ago, "God, don't ever let my heart become that hard." I got to tell you something. My heart has come dangerously close to becoming that hard. 37 years of dealing with other people's pain. 37 years of just doing what we do. And I have sensed in my own life almost a compelling drive of self-preservation. And the way that's manifested itself is by distance and ignoring, not listening. A desire just to get away. There have been moments, I'm just being honest with you. Over the last number of years, where if I had the opportunity and the means, I would have just said, "It's been good, but I'm going backpacking. for the rest of my life. It's burnout. Now, we all need boundaries in our lives, right? We do. Just about done. We need to rest. We need to take a break. Those are biblical things, by the way. Need to hike a trail. In fact, if we don't do that, we will certainly burn out. So when I'm saying let compassion move you, it's not without boundaries. You understand what I'm saying? But today, I need compassion to move me once again. I need a fresh touch of the love of God for others and for myself. I need to find my way back to standing still and hearing the cry. I need to engage the need and let compassion and faith move me. Because I think God still has more. I think there's some hill country that I'm still supposed to take. As we just close, and I want to give you an opportunity to kind of just contemplate whatever the Lord might be saying to you today. I'm reaching back a lot of years to an old song by Keith Green that I want to play. And one of the reasons I chose this song is because there's a line in it that says, it's so hard to see when my eyes are on me. And we're never going to see with the eyes of Jesus when we are stuck in our own pain and anger and bitterness or whatever it is. And this song is really my prayer for today for you and for me. And so with no further ado, let's just play it.